You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. John and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy word in order that we might be able to be exposed to your thoughts, to your wonderful movement of to move our mind and heart after your own. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. So looking to you, Spirit of God, thank you. Lord, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 17. And we're at a point in chapter 17 where the fulfillment of God is going to crystallize and say clearly what the assignment is. So, in order to get there carefully, our Lord God, in his wonderful grace, is going to present himself. God the Father, in Christ Jesus, is going to present himself for 3 1/3 years. And in doing so, he's going to be the example, going to be the one to look to if you want to understand God. In particular, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, what are we to understand about Jesus Christ? Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. God happens to be God, this think of Sunday school. God is God, period. And everything, everyone, has to be understanding. You have to get to God. God is the center. There is no other, no other person, no other place, no other thing. There's nothing anywhere in all of creation except God and his creation. And his creation, us, are given the privilege of knowing our God who created us. So John chapter 14, verse 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God put on Bethlehem of Judea, born in Bethlehem of Judea, put on a human house, the incarnation, and was born, and when he was born in order to die. He's going to be an example. The Father sent the Son. God the Father sent the Son. Hang on to that. Now, chapter 5. And in chapter 5, may I go in the light of the context, verse, chapter 5, verse 36. I'll read verse 35, John the Baptist. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. John the Baptist was his wonderful ministry. Verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which my Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Verse 37. The Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. So the invisible, infinite God is exposed in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Father, God the Father, in his wonderful, wonderful plan to honor and glorify himself, sent the Son, as it were. Sent the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, sent the Son. Now, and so we have the chapters, as we did them, in the Gospel of John, Matthew, and Mark, and Luke. And we read them in John all the way up to chapter 17. And God showed his wonderful, wonderful testimony in Christ for 3 1/3 years, so that everyone could see, hear him, see him, listen, and they were exposed to God, his wonderful works, which evidence his relationship to God. Now that's how we have sent. I need that. He is trusting God, chapter 5. While you're here, go back a verse. Chapter 5 and verse 19. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as perfect man, represented God in a most perfect way. And he did that for 3 1/3 years. So that, what? The people could be exposed to be able to see and hear and have an understanding of God's wonderful person by way of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. God sent his Son to save, to be the Lamb of God, etc. Now, having said that, that's what he did. So all that for the disciples, and the disciples are going to be exposed to the upper, in the upper room, John 13 through 17. They're going to be exposed to his awesome person, and they're given, the 11 are given a special, special course, preparatory course for their assignment. A special. The others didn't get it, just the apostles to come. The apostles are going to be the foundation on which we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and all the epistles. Now, having said that, over to John and chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, as we've been reading, looking, studying, may I go directly to verse 18. As the Father sent me into the world, even so, as my Father sent me, even so, comparison, as the Father compared to the Father sending me, I also am sending them into the world. Same word, same verb. As he was sent to represent the Father, he sends the believers to represent the Son, who represents the Father. So now, that's his assignment, and he's given that to the believers. Now the 11 are going to have it, and the 11 are going to be the foundation on which we all have it. So here's the believing heart, receives the Lord as their Savior. So, and the believing heart that receives the Lord as their Savior is a sent, is to be sent, assignment. That's what they have. It isn't, so we've shared that before, you know, in Ephesians 4 and that, that our, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God gives you a brand new, instant vocation, an instant relationship to God. And you went from death unto life. And in that millisecond, little dot, you changed. And your whole reason for being born in your physical being is to know him, to honor him, to have a life. You receive, not perish, but of everlasting life. You're to exercise that relationship to God. That's your new reason for getting out of bed, going to bed, to work, to school, hard, much, little. That's your reason. To express life. That's it. Now you have to do all the different things you do to work to pay your bills. But that's your reason. That's the reason the believer is alive on earth right now. That's the assignment. Now, I want to look at that, if I can, and help it to lock it in. So, what do we know? When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God goes and sends us, as verse 18. And you know in Matthew 28, and that is the Father, but to go to all the world, showing the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, baptizing, etc., to show the wonderful person of God. And the Lord says in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. I'm going to be there. So we have an assignment, a relationship to God, and our relationship to God is to exhibit and share life. John chapter 17, I should say. John chapter 17, as the Father sent me. Now, how are we equipped for that? Are we able to be able to do that? Yes. We share together in verse 16, for they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So that God gives us a whole new relationship. Verse 17, sanctify, set them apart. How so? Through thy truth. Even thy word is true. God sets us apart in his Son, in the middle of truth. He's the God of truth, and we're to be telling the truth about God. So we have an actually consecration. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. The Lord Jesus Christ is actually, what we just read, verse 18 and that, he's actually going to go and authenticate, make it real. He's going to go out of that room to the cross and die and authenticate all that he has just said to make it real. Unless he dies, no, he has to die on the cross and it becomes very real. Done. And when you want to think about that, he did that, dear friends, at the cost of himself. So it's no little matter. It's no little thing to be sent. What we just mumbled out is an awesome thing. It costs God to make something awesome happen that's real. Now, if you look out, you'll never see it, hardly, but it's real. Let's put the pieces together. Now, having said that, so here in verse 19, as for their sakes, I sanctify myself, purpose, that they might be sanctified through the truth, by way of the truth. We're in the middle of the truth. How can we be set apart in the middle of God's grace, in the middle of God, to be as he is in the world? So are we to be. We're to be sent as he is sent into the world system. The world system that is hostile and not interested in anything. The world system loves darkness and hates light. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God is going to go and sanctify. And when the believer, he dies on the cross, he makes possible all of that wonderful, wonderful reality to be found a new creature in Christ, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so all things are now possible that were never possible. So God is going to make that in such a way, the Spirit of God is going to make it all real. That's his ministry. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It isn't up to us. No, it's God. God sent his Son. The Father allowed his Son to be crucified to pay the penalty for our sin. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, in wonderful harmony and agreement, makes it all happen. Makes it all happen. Makes it all real. That's what he... So who's going to make it real? God is. You aren't going to make it real. God makes it real in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, this reality of this relationship, God makes it real. Over, if you would, to Mark and chapter 14. Mark and chapter 14. And you will notice our Lord is going to go to the cross and be crucified and bear our sin in his own body on the tree. So when we come to chapter 14 in the garden, verse 34, 14:34, he saith and saith unto them, disciples, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from. In other words, he's going to concentrate. It's what he just said, verse 19. He has to do it. In the garden, he's going to go out and say, God, I wish I didn't have to do this, but it's the only way. It's the only way. Sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. It is required. Therefore, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. So here he is in the garden, and he looks to God the Father, and he says, Abba, Father. That's what he said. Personal Hebrew and Greek words, Abba, Father. Says it to God in an awesome way. Now hang on. That's what he said. My Father, your will has to be done. Now, the relationship. Romans, and in chapter 8. Romans 8. Now, without turning there for time, Galatians 4:6 is going to say the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to be saying, hold your finger in Romans 8 and go to Galatians 4. Because I want it stuck in your mind, in my mind. Galatians 4. Galatians 4, if I can, I end verse 4. 4:4, Galatians. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Purpose, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, to be have the full rank, fullness, authority to enjoy actually the relationship. How so? Verse 6, because you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, what? Abba, Father. That's what the Lord said. Abba, Father. It's his Father. Now, what are we saying? The Spirit of God's ministry when you get saved is to exercise the relationship. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, who's sending me? My Father is sending me in the Son to represent him. The Spirit of God is saying the same relationship as the Lord Jesus, Abba Father, for the believing heart, Abba Father. Back over to Romans 8. Only this time, Romans 8, our response. Romans 8 and verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, which we just looked at, placed as sons, whereby we, present tense, are crying, what? Abba, Father. The Spirit of God says it, and we echo it. Echo it. He's helping us understand the relationship. As the Father sent the Son, the Father sends us. Same assignment to represent the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and God of truth, the truth of God. Do you qualify for the assignment? If you know the Lord as your Savior and you receive the Lord as your Savior, you qualify. Now, what you do with that assignment and how much you understand it, that's something else. Now, having said that, so we are to understand. So therefore, we're qualified. You can't, not everyone. The assignment isn't for everyone. The assignment is for believers. As the Father sent me, so sent I you. So how are they sent? And why are they sent? Answering the question, how and why? Because I want to know, you want to know if you're a believer, I hope. How are we to be sent and why are we sent? Details, order. Or if you would please, you know, before we just add to that quickly, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That's why all creation exists, because God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost agreed that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea in his perfect humanity to save. The centerpiece of all creation is the cross, Christ. That's why the angels, that's why everything, it's the centerpiece, the basis for the painting, the basis for the picture, the basis for this, for the actual history is the cross. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you know, now keeping that, over if you would please to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm trying to tell you why you're qualified. Why are you qualified? A kangaroo isn't qualified. And angels, they don't fit in this one. They don't fit in this one. No, just believers, just humans, humans. Why humans? Genesis 1, 26. And 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female. There is no other objects. So you want to enjoy being a human, you have to be either a male or a female, legitimately. Understand? If you want to enjoy God, you have to be literally a real girl and a real boy. Otherwise, you don't qualify. So what are real boys and real girls and real men and women made in the image and likeness of God? The word image to tell the truth. The wonderful one, this wonderful exercise to know the truth about God, to tell the truth about God, to show the reality of God. Therefore, God is going to show his awesome person. He's going to show it particularly to make all of this possible when he dies on the cross, God in Christ, in order to be able to show God. Now, so in the process, The word image and the word likeness, be able to go. So in the image has to do with a mirror image, a shadowing. Think of the word resemblance, the resemblance of reality. The source is God, the resemblance of this reality, the source of which is God. The word likeness is an additional explanation in place of, in relationship to something else, to what? To show representation. So the two words, image and likeness, resembling and to represent, to resemble, like, to represent outwardly. Resemble, that's the word. Humans are made to resemble and to represent God. That's the word, image and likeness. They're made for that in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And that to exercise that in a most wonderful way. And humans are made like God. They aren't like, I used a kangaroo, we use a giraffe. Here they are, average giraffe. The average, what they do, they do what they do. Humans are different than all animals, birds, fishes, etc. They're able to say, I am. Each one of you could say, I am. Each one of you could say, I will. You have a choice. You make them every single second. I will, I am, I will. Thirdly, I ought. I am a morally responsible person. I know what I ought to do. I ought to do it. I am, I will, I ought. That's God. He is, he wills, and he's morally responsible. He made you in his image and likeness in a most wonderful way. So God gives you his will, free will to choose. That's why you had the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden about? Here's Adam and Eve. They were to show and exercise their relationship to God in the right kind of way. I am, I will, I ought. They ought to know you don't disobey God, you honor God. So when the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll surely die. In dying, you will die. And they did. And we mentioned that in Sunday school. That's why if you're born spiritually dead, you need to know the Lord as your Savior. You need to have a relationship to God. And if you don't believe you're born spiritually dead, and all of that without doing all that again, if you don't believe you're spiritually dead, be of good cheer, you're going to die. Death. What you say you don't want to understand, you are going to do because you're dead in sin. That's why you die. So to be silly to say, I don't believe it. You may not, but you're going to die. You're going to die. Why are you going to die? Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, so the will, we have a free will, and we're to go and exercise that will in a most wonderful way. Now, in the process, in order to do this, and 126, 27, image of light, think of a mirror. A mirror, we're going to read it in the New Testament in a minute. A mirror. And a mirror, a derived image. I look at the light, and the light, you'll see the light in the mirror. See the light in the mirror. That's the, it's the source is the light, and my hands with mirror would be reflecting that light. It's a perfect source. And where is this light? It's in the mirror. Where is the mirror? In the light. In the light. It's a direct mirror. Mirror. Now, so that's the word, to be a mirror. And Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose. They chose negatively. That brought sin, and therefore the normal 1,000%, no, you do everything perfectly. Because there's no sin. That's what's going to happen when you go to heaven in God's grace. There's no more sin. So God, but we got sin. We got I will, I am, I ought. I'm morally responsible. So now, here's a mirror. And the mirror, your human mirror. And in the process, we live. Well, what do we represent? Us humans represent I, me, my. No? Don't you? I, me, my. You represent I, me, my. I am. I am. So here we are looking to God in a most fun way. Now, here's a mirror, and I had to cover the mirror to make it work. Now, this, you can't see this, but that's you. And that's how you live. So I live for myself. I'm not saved. And I live. So here I am, and everywhere I represent who? Me. You represent in yourself what? You. You. That's what you do. God saved you so that you represent him. That's what God saves you for, to represent him. And whether you can't see that, it's a cross. That's what we're doing. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I'm able to represent him. Now, I have a will as a person, and it turns like this. So 1 minute I can be trusting God, And the next minute, I'm trusting me. You see, you can't see this face. I know you can. If you think of the Hulk, that's what it looks like. Yeah, you have to. I have this looking at me every day on my desk. It hangs right up in front of me, just like that. Mm-hmm. Jeanette said, keep an eye on yourself. You got the idea. Upon this, I'm just going to show me. All I can do is show what? Who I am. When I get saved, I have another relationship to God, Abba Father. I can show my wonderful relationship to God. I will. I choose to do so. Now, you got that? It's a mirror. It goes like this. Saved. You're unsaved, it's always this. You come to know the Lord as your Savior, you got this, you got the privilege of turning it. Up to then, you can never get anything except this. Like we shared in Sunday school, potatoes. Potatoes, your heart's full of potatoes, and that's all that's ever going to come out of them, potatoes. That's what's going to come out. So when I get saved, though, I can do this, or this, or this, or this, or this. I can do either. Now, having said that, in the light of that, if I can, so God, you're going to go. As God does. Over, if you would, to Colossians. And chapter 1. Picking up, please. Chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 and 15. And you will note, I'm taking the word image of our Lord, so you can see the same. Abba, Father. And we can say, Abba, Father. I can say that. Abba, Father. And the Spirit of God saying it, if I qualify, so that I can say it. Abba, Father, my Father. Colossians 1, our Lord Jesus Christ made that possible. Would you please note in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his perfect humanity, for 3 1/3 years, represented God. So everything he did, you would see God. Everything he did for 3 1/3 years, publicly, you would always see God. Always see God. But he did. His works, everything he did showed us who he is. That's what he did. He saves us so that we can do this. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Isn't that hard? A relationship. Qualified. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is qualified. Now, picking up that as the derived image and so on. No. Over, I mentioned that, to see that. Over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, you'll see it. And 2 Corinthians 3, picking up, if I can, in verse 16. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away of unbelief. Unbelief blinds the mind. When the heart believes, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, wonderful freedom. Freedom. Will I am, I will, I ought. Verse 18. But we all with open face, open, no mirror. Moses, remember, had to cover his face. No covering, open face, clear, straight relationship. Exercise the relationship. Okay. Verse 18, but we with open face, beholding. So I see myself in the mirror as I actually am, nothing in between. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed. We're continually being changed. Wonderfully, wonderfully changed. So if I keep looking, keep growing, keep learning, isn't that what happens? You're little, you have to be little. When you're little, you grow. And the words you used at 4 aren't the same as the words you use at 14, the same as the words at 24, and et cetera, et cetera. You're growing, you're growing, you're growing, you're learning. You're entering into life. You're entering into experiences, for good or bad, right or wrong. And you're doing that. So as you do so, you enjoy the exercise of that relationship. So that's what you're doing. You're changing. That's what you're doing. That's what we're going to grow. We grow up physically and mentally, socially. We grow up spiritually, we're supposed to. And so as we do, we show the cross more than we show self. And we recognize, when I catch this, I confess my sin and swing it around. That's my will. I confess my sin, swing it around. I turn around, it's my will, my right. I'm moral, I ought. I have a morality, to right and wrong. This is right, that's wrong. Now, having said that, so in the process, we're being changed, image. It's simple, wonderful thing. That's what we do. I'm trying to make it simple for you. We have to understand. My relationship to God isn't something I bought a ticket for something and I'm going to use it someday. I put it in a drawer and someday I'll take it and use it. No, you didn't get a ticket to heaven. You got life. You received a person. You didn't get a ticket to heaven. You received the person of Jesus Christ as your Savior. And not a ticket. It's a life. It happens if you don't have it the moment you're saved, you're not saved. You have to have it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so now, here's Israel, and Israel's going to show the law. Israel didn't show the law, they should have. And to worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what they're to do. And the woman at the well, John chapter 4, etc. They that worship God must worship them in spirit and truth. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and God requires this unique relationship, and they recognize bankruptcy. This way is bankrupt, this way is bank rich. Bankrupt, bank rich. I'm gonna trust myself, pauper. I got nothing to show anybody except self. On the other hand, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I have life. I have a unique relationship to the Father, Abba, Father. That's a unique relationship. It isn't in the child, it's in the Father. The Father is the source of the life and the outworking of that life. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to Matthew chapter 12. Now, why are we sent? You know it, but how are we sent? Why are we sent? Matthew chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 38, as you'd know. 12:38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Remember, they all want something. They never wanted to believe anything. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it. They crucified Christ. That's what they did. And therefore, no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he's going to rise again. You're going to have an empty tomb. An empty tomb. And the only way, we've shared it many, many times lately. God, what's the empty tomb? How do we show you? No question, we crucified him. We don't have a problem with that. We got a problem. No body. An empty tomb. That is a problem. That's the problem. The resurrection is the problem. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so he's going to show an empty tomb. How's he going to show an empty tomb? As my Father sent me, so send I you. I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you out there. What are you going to show? Crucified Christ? No. No, you're going to show a risen Christ. That's what you're going to show. You're going to show that Christ liveth in your heart. That's what you're going to show. You're going to show a resurrected Christ to an unbelieving world. That's what you're going to do. They love darkness, they hate light. That's what you're going to do. And you're simple little, we're simple little nobodies that God saves to the uttermost. That's awesome, dear friends. Awesome. Wonderful. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so over to Romans chapter 6. Let me do this quickly for you. Romans chapter 6. When Christ died on the cross, what do we know? Well, he took me. Why did he go to the cross? He took my place before the foundation of the world. Romans chapter 6. May I go to verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, identified into Jesus Christ, were baptized, identified into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by, if we've been buried with him, death and burial. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What newness of life? For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So God took us to the cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what he did. That's how you got saved. You realize Jesus Christ died for you. He paid. He's the perfect substitute, the perfect savior, the perfect sacrifice. He did it for you now. So therefore you can go and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have a unique relationship to him. Abba Father. Father, like we did Father's Day. Abba Father. Wow. So we're able to have that unique relationship to God. And having that unique relationship to God, we're able to enjoy his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Because when he rose again, here's the hand, one hand. And here's the hand. Here's the death. Got that? If I did this, same hand, if I get this, I'm connected to this. Am I helping you? Death. I'm the same hand. Christ. Burial. Resurrection. Seated. That's why God says in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, you have to turn there. You're seated together. Where? Right now. Where are you seated as a believer? In heavenly places in Christ. You understand that? So all of a sudden, you went here from death all the way over to you're seated. But you're still here as my Father sent me. What are you demonstrating, God? Resurrection. Resurrection. Christ is seated. You have to be enjoying that position so that you can route what? As my Father sent me, so send I you. Hang on. So send I you in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process, if you did that in Ephesians, then you know, and you may want to, you may want to turn there just for a moment. Ephesians, you know, we were just mentioned Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, was seated in heavenly places. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we are his body, verse 1:23, which is his body, the likeness, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we have his body, chapter 5. What do you know about this unique relationship? It's awesome. Father, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We represent him. His wonderful, we're his body. He's the head. Where's the head? Seated at the right hand of God. Where's the body? Seated at the right hand of God. The head is finished. The body is there, what? Representing. You can't see the head. He's resurrected, seated. But you can see the body. You can see the body. And you would know when you put this, here's his hand out here, and you can't see. You'd know. If you saw the hand, you wouldn't see the head. When you saw the hand, though, don't you know there's a head belongs to it? Don't you know that? When you see a foot, don't you know there's a head? What's the church? The believers are sent, what? To show the body of the head seated in heavenly places already. So the position's there, and our pathway, walk in the light as thou art in the light, but walk by faith. That's what we're doing. And now walking, what is this walking around? Well, these people have life, wonderful, wonderful life. That's what they have, a unique relationship to God. They're able to say, Father, not like Unitarianism. Fatherhood, no, Father, legit, my father, that's right, wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, and back to Romans. And in Romans in chapter 8 again. I want to go from 8 to 12. Romans 12. Because that's a summation of 11 chapters. 12 is giving a conclusion. Therefore, here we are looking, God, and you read it in your reading without taking time, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Spirit of God is going to go. You're His, Acts 1:8, you're to be His witnesses. My witnesses unto me. They're mine. Personal, prized, precious, privileged, prized, precious people. I own them. They're my possession. As my Father sent me, so send I you. You're mine. Your vocation, everything has changed. You have a unique relationship to God. Exercise it. That's your main thing. That's how you go to McDonald's and serve your hamburgers or whatever you're doing. That's why you do the dishes or whatever you do. You know why? Because that's my serve. I have to do that. I have to do a certain thing. Then my humanness. That's true. Got to pay your bills and stuff. That's true. But that isn't why I'm here. I'm here to represent God in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so power. To me, it's a prize, privilege, precious. And remember, if you read in Acts chapter 4 and that, and the church, and what did the church do there in Jerusalem, etc.? They bore witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. Romans, I got you in Romans 12. Go to Romans 10 first. Thank you for that. I'm trying to skip everything and say everything. How's that? Doesn't come out very good. Trying to get to see it. There's a whole lot. You ought to understand. Romans chapter 10. Why do we qualify? Well, you know it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive Him. That if thou shalt confess, verse 9, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God, and then underline in big, large print, hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You believe in a resurrected Christ, not a crucified Christ. You believe in a risen Christ. Remember, He took your place, He was buried, He rose again. That's a relationship. Death only paid the penalty. You needed to have now the benefit of that penalty being paid of life. Now, so verse 9 again. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we're talking about, I'm telling you why I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again from the grave. I serve a risen Savior. We sing it. That's what we do. I have a wonderful relationship to God. That's what we know. I have a Father. He's my Father. They say, how can it be? Oh, because. And they see the hand out there. They don't understand it. But But if they pay attention, the hand has to belong to somebody. These people have to belong to, have to have some reason they're here. No, there has to be some reason. And if it's a good reason to look to know God and trust God, then the people are going to ask, why are they in that place? They sat there. They sat there at night too. Wow, what kind of people are they? You know, prayer meeting. Wow, what kind of people are they? Well, that's good. They're asking questions. Why would they get up and go to church? It's snowing. See, 10 feet of snow. And you go out and shovel and come. You got it? They wonder, what is it with these guys? The hand. They see the hand. Now Romans 12. So what are we going to do? How are we sent? Why are we sent? To show God's wonderful, wonderful grace, etc., His glory. So now, here, picking up, please, I end Romans chapter 12, summation of 11 chapters of that relationship, crucified, buried, risen. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and by the mercies of God, that you present, yield your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what did Christ do? What do? We preach Christ crucified, like Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined nothing to, in big cosmopolitan city of Corinth. He said, Paul's no stoop. He was knew his stuff. He could compete with anybody in Rome or whatever. But he determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But, what are we doing? We're living sacrifices. What did they evidence in the Old Testament? They had to put the animals, thousands of them, to point to Christ. We aren't going to the death. We're living sacrifices. We've been crucified, buried, and risen. We're living sacrifices. Living, it's easier to die, you know. It's easier to die than to have to live day after day and do everything and be responsible and trust God. It's easier to die, boom, that's all over. No, we have to be living sacrifices. Showing what? The life of God who's risen from the dead in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Oh, you got the idea? Not this way. This way. Got it? As my Father sent me, so sent I you. It isn't hard. You know Him, then you honor Him. In your little old lives, eating and drinking, coming and going, struggling through problem after problem, showing a wonderful God who saves you and has given you a relationship to Him. And we confess our sin to our Father if it's a problem, but then we're done with it. Do you understand? God help us. Our Father and God, we thank You for Your grace and kindness, and thank You very much. God, as You sent Your Son, here we are. That's why we're here, to represent Your wonderful person, according to Your word, and to do so, exercising our relationship. Father, thank You. In Christ's name, amen.